So why do we send our young people to Belize? Well, first of all, they're going to be doing a lot of good work in Belize. We probably do more good than we realize. We will make a difference in the lives of others. The people at the Belmopan Baptist Church are so excited. They cannot wait. Some of you may remember a number of years ago we took a youth group to Belize and we were doing Bible school at the little San Martin Baptist Church that is outside the city of Belmopan. We didn't realize what was going on that week. The pastor of that church had fallen from grace, in a manner of speaking, and because of the convoluted legal system in Belize, this pastor actually owned the church. I mean, literally, this guy owned the church. And he was getting ready to shut it down because he was angry at some of the other pastors and all this kind of stuff. But do you know that when our youth group went down and started doing Bible school, and we didn't realize it, but this pastor was just watching from a distance, that it made such an impression on him, the love, the compassion, the way that our young people interacted with those children in that village, that he changed his mind and he deeded the church back over to the Baptist Association. And this morning in Belize, there is a worship service at the San Martin Baptist Church, and it probably wouldn't have happened if it had not been for our young people. We do make a difference, but the greatest difference is not what we do there. The greatest difference is what that trip does for us. One thing is simply this. We get to go and see how most of the other people in the world live. They live without all of the things that we think are so necessary. It's just like this t-shirt. Now, I love t-shirts. You love t-shirts. We all love t-shirts. But if you're like me, I've got a closet full of t-shirts. I have Passport t-shirts, I have Belize t-shirts, YMCA t-shirts, Touching Davidson County with Love t-shirts, and I don't know what all t-shirts. I've got more t-shirts than I know what to do with. But all God's children don't have t-shirts. And do you know when we go in there Monday morning and we give those young people in Belize these t-shirts, this is going to be something that they will cherish, that they're going to wear until it has holes in it. It's something that will mean more to them than we can even imagine. So one thing is we're going to get to see how the rest of the world lives, and we're going to find out that they seem to be so fulfilled and happy and get along just fine without all the stuff that we think is so necessary. A second thing is we're going to discover that God does have a big family. And that everybody in God's family, they're not necessarily like us. That God has a big family. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms." There's room for everybody in God's family. Even people who are different, even people that we may not like. I'm so proud of this team. These are the finest young people that you'll find anywhere, and I love them, each and every one of them. They have done so much to get ready for this trip, and two of our members, Colin Beamer and Jack Davis, have actually written the devotions, the morning devotions and the evening devotions, and I didn't ask them to do that. They just volunteered to do it. And in one of the devotions, and you're going to be receiving your notebook in a few minutes, and it's a notebook that has all of the details of the trip and all of the devotions. But in the devotion for Thursday, in which we're talking about family, Jack quoted one of my favorite writers and heroes of the faith, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This is what Bonhoeffer said: "Christian fellowship lives and exists by the intercession of its members for one another, or it collapses. I can no longer condemn or mistreat a brother for whom I pray, no matter how much trouble he causes me. His face hitherto may have been strange and intolerable to me, but it is transformed in intercession into the countenance of a brother for whom Christ died, the face of a forgiven sinner. That's good stuff, Jack. And we're going to learn to see other people as people for whom Christ died. But you know what the biggest thing is that I think makes a difference with our youth? For 11 days, we will be totally dedicated and devoted to one thing, and that's simply doing God's will. Did you notice the mission statement that you find as the gathering in the bulletin? This also was written exclusively by the young people. It said that we, the youth, hereby conspire, I like that, to spread the joy, intent, and love of God. But look at that last phrase. But also to stay vulnerable, that we may also be changed. I've seen it happen so many times. When we have youth or adults who go to Belize or other places on a mission trip, we are transformed. We are changed. And this is the reason. In that story in the third chapter of John that Dan read about Nicodemus, Nicodemus was one of the most religious guys of his day. He was a Pharisee, which means he was as devout and pious. He had risen up the denominational ladder. This guy knew the religious laws. He was a religious zealot. He also was part of the Sanhedrin, the exclusive ruling body of the Jewish people. I mean, this guy had worked his way up. This guy knew religion. He also was very wealthy. And the guy made a ton of money. We find that out later on. So here's a guy that has everything. He's good, he's religious, he has a lot of money, but he was missing something. There is a difference in knowing about God and experiencing God. Those of you who were in the 23rd Psalm study, we talked about that one night. A theologian by the name of Martin Buber said that it's one thing to know about God and to understand God the way Nicodemus did, but it's another thing to really know God. And he said it's the difference between going into a restaurant and reading the menu and eating the meal. I mean, you go in there and say, man, this looks good. Wait till you see the menu at Cheers. You're going to go, what's this? But it's one thing to read the menu. It's another thing to actually eat the meal. Because for 11 days, when they leave next Sunday morning, there are no cell phones, no iPods, no anything you have to plug in, they leave at home. For 11 days, we're totally dedicated and we're totally devoted to doing God's will. I want to share something with you that I learned on my first trip to Belize. And this is something for the rest of my life, I'll never ever forget. It was back in the 1980s, and we went down there, and I was doing a dramatic monologue, and I was doing it on a man that had been healed by Jesus, a man that was blind and Jesus healed. And every night we went to a different church, and we put on a pretty good show, and we all dressed up like biblical characters, and we went in there and we put on a good show, and we were just having a good time. Until early one morning. And I was staying at the old Circle A hotel that is so old it doesn't exist anymore. Jack the Dinosaur's called it off. It's just disappeared. They didn't have the camp. And early one morning, a member of the team came and said, "Ray, there's somebody out here that you need to see." And there was a lady. There was a lady who had carried a little boy on her back. I think he was about 11 or 12, but he looked like he was about 7 or 8. This woman had walked through the brush. Her legs were bleeding. And she had carried that little boy on her back who was her son. I don't know what was wrong with him, but I think he had spinal meningitis. I mean, he was critically, critically ill. You know what she said to me? She said, "I want you to heal my son." Because you see, when she saw me do that monologue, she didn't know the difference between a drama and reality. She really thought that I was the man that Jesus healed. And she wanted me to pass along that healing to her son. Boy. I mean, I talked to her. I prayed with her. I couldn't heal her son. Only God can do that. But I want to tell you something. You're going down to Belize with incredible power. You have the power of the gospel. And the power of the gospel has changed the world. It has, Colin, rocked the world. The world is not the same because of the power of Jesus Christ. And that's the power that you have and that you can share. And you can change the world, but first, you're going to be the ones to be changed. It's going to be awesome.